Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
This MC is the best animated shows ever so far. I think it's probably your turn to intro. I'm sorry. No, wait, it is my turn. Because you put in extra ellipses last week.
Yes,
this,
I did.
MC, this is the best animated shows ever so far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually. There. I made up for your extra ellipses. It averages out in the end. How's it going, man?
It's going well. I watched everything I was supposed to today.
Everything you were supposed to, meaning Gate and The Spy Who Loved Me?
No.
Then when we finish recording, even though it's going to be like 1 a.m., you're going to go watch The Spy Who Loved Me. It's fair not enough. Good. It's not good. MC, The Spy Who Loved Me, I was watching it. I'm about halfway through. And at about halfway through, as I was watching it this morning, just before we got on this call, I realized, holy shit, The Spy Who Loved Me is them going, what if James Bond was a rom-com? What if we made a romantic comedy out of a James Bond movie? These two crazy kids just can't get it together. That's what Spy Who Loved Me is.
Which is essentially why Austin Powers got made as well.
My word, the Austin Powers movies are so much based on the Roger Moore movies. Just rewatching the Roger Moore movies, I'm like, oh, that's from James Bond. Remember, Spy Who Loved Me starts off with James Bond skiing down a mountain, being chased by bad guys, and then he skis off a cliff and deploys a parachute, and it's a big Union Jack parachute.
Yep, it is.
MC, listen, unless we're going to talk about James Bond Jr., this is not the show for this, because this is the best animated shows ever, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever. Eventually, what cartoons have you watched?
Well, I have watched Gate today, because that's what we're covering. I don't think I've watched much else. I think I caught up on everything a couple of weeks back. So I've been watching a lot of Criminal Minds, with that's not this show.
That's
or
not
any show we do.
That's not a cartoon at all.
No.
I have continued watching Teen Titans. I'm almost done with the first season. It's very good. And I just found out yesterday that there's a movie that's Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go, and that's awesome. And I really want to watch this movie because that sounds ridiculous. And what else have I watched? Watching some Justice League action. Spoilers, our theme for next set of episodes is going to be DC shows, because I've been deep into the DC lore. And I started watching Avatar The Last Airbender again, because it's back on Netflix here in the States. So Becky and
it's
I went and
also here.
We figured out what episode we left off on when she was watching, which was only like halfway through the first season, and started watching again. But the child was having a meltdown, so we did not get very far in watching it again. But I'm so excited that Avatar's back, because that show just makes me happy. It makes me happy. Oh my gosh. In non-animated news, MC, did you see that the Animorphs, they're making an Animorphs movie?
I did not see that.
Listen, I'm not going to be able to go in-depth on this in any other podcast. I guess Turtle Power Presents Power Playthroughs podcast. Turtle Power, where I play an Animorphs Game Boy Color game, would be a good place for me to talk about this. But MC, they're making an Animorphs movie, and I'm so mad. Because Animorphs is a 54... book series.
Yes.
And they're making a movie.
Just one?
Well, I mean, presumably they're hoping it's gonna be a series, but like, they're not gonna make 54 movies.
No, they're going to consolidate stories as well.
It's gonna be bad, and I'm so excited, but it's gonna be bad. Here's what they should do. I'm saying this everywhere I can in the hopes that I'm putting it out in the world and it's gonna happen. Forget about the movie. Forget about live action. Because you know why? Animorphs has a whole bunch of aliens in it, and it has a whole bunch of preteen children in dangerous situations turning into animals and then, like, getting their guts ripped out. You're not going to do that in a live action movie. Don't pretend you're going to. You're either going to age them up or you're going to tone the violence down. One or the other. So, forget about live action. Here's what you do. You call up the team that made Avatar The Last Airbender, a great show about small children in perilous situations with awesome action. And you have, oh, and Emotive Animals, because Avatar Last Airbender does a very good job of Emotive Animals. And you have that team plan out a series. It's 5 seasons long. Each book gets roughly 2 episodes devoted to it. So it's basically a series of 2-part episodes. That means at the end of it, if you just do the 54 mainline books, you're going to end up with 108 episodes, which is enough for you to go into syndication. But then you can also do some TV special movie length things for some of the non-mainline books, because there's ones that go like way back into the history of the universe, and there's some that are like just silly adventures, and you'd make it that way. So it becomes 5 seasons long with like 6 or 7 like of these TV specials, and it would be fantastic as a cartoon. It will be terrible as a movie, and I'm so excited.
I also like watching bad stuff. It's also fun to watch bad stuff with friends just to make fun of it. Me and my sister just last night watched It Number 2.
Ooh, how is that?
It's creepy and scary and hilarious. You would hate it.
yes, I would.
It's spooky. Yeah. No, me and my sister have this thing where we watch horror movies together, and we essentially just start laughing at how ridiculous some of it is.
I just can't. Hey, speaking of horror things, this is our off-topic intro, apparently. Listen, here's what it's going to be, MC. I'm establishing a new format for us going forward. Episode 1, whatever behind-the-scenes information we have. Episode 2, Episode 3, let's get straight to the episode. That's going to be our new format.
Fair enough.
I put a blanket on the baby, and he's like, he can't crawl in a way where you'd look at him and be like, that baby can crawl. But he has moved from one side of the room to the other since I laid him down, and now he's moving back. So, like, he's capable of crawling, he just doesn't know how to put one, like, crawl step after another. But I put a blanket on him, and he crawled out from under it and scooted away. And now Oliver was like, hey, check out this baby blanket, and is curled up and sleeping on the blanket. Like, no, dog, that blanket was not for you. That was for the baby. Anyway, speaking of spoopy stuff, have you picked up The Last of Us Part 2?
No, I have not.
Did you ever play the first game?
Yeah, I did. I played it all the way through.
I played the first game. I played the intro to the first game, and it made me cry very much, and then I stopped playing it.
Yeah.
And I have not gone back and played it again. But I think now that Part 2 is out, maybe I'll finally go play The Last of Us.
Speaking I probably should go buy that and play through it, but at the same time, I'm in the middle of other games, so
yeah,
I want to finish those first.
All right, I think that's enough nonsense. We already know what games you're playing: Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and then you're still playing crazy mods on Minecraft, and also playing No Man's Sky.
Not so much No Man's Sky at the moment, but yes.
I need to start Golden Sun for Turtle Power Presents Turtle Power Presents The Last of Us? That's not what it's called. Turtle Power Presents Power Play These Podcasts, Turtle Power. I'm going to play Golden Sun next, because I played a little bit of the Golden Sun game, the first one, when I was a little kid, and I loved it, and then I have not played it since, and I'm really excited to revisit it. But anyway, that's not what we're going to talk about.
You can find that podcast on the probablywork.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, I think the Uwu podcast will be officially announced by this point. It's not, Tyler, too bad. We've announced it. They've put it in their episodes already. We have a new podcast on the network. It's called the Uwu podcast, and it's about like all things anime and BTS and weeb and just like Japan stuff, and it's great. It's super fun. I don't know if you've listened to it, MC, but you should. It's ridiculous and fun.
I caught a little bit of the first episode.
Their most recent episode. Fell asleep. They're reading through a BTS Choose Your Own Adventure fanfic, and it's awesome. It's so good. So anyway, go check out the Uwu podcast. Go check out all the other podcasts on the network. Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. We'll see you next time. Until then, don't change the channel.
That's not now. We're going to ads now.
MC, I'm and then so we'll be tired
with the episode.
Atticus hasn't been sleeping well the past 3 nights. I'm so tired. Okay. We'll be right back after these messages.
you like K-pop,
anime,
astrology,
general shenanigans.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Haley,
host of the UWU podcast.
Chelsea, what's UWU?
UWU is the feeling you get of too much cuteness or an overwhelming feeling of happiness.
New episodes every Wednesday.
Catch us almost everywhere podcasts are available.
Podcasts so cute, it'll make you go,
UWU!
And we're back.
We are back to discuss season one, episode two of Gate. Just the JSDF. Fought there. I don't have the episode title up in front of me, MC. I'm trying to get it. You came back too quick. I realized I needed it, like, right as you started saying we're back. And I was like, oh, let me go find it. I haven't found it yet, though. The Two Armies.
The Two Armies, yeah.
Episode two is called The Two Armies, which is not the best name for it. Hey, child, can you move this way away from the shelf? Yeah? I'll be right back.
Atticus is now mobile, so of course he's getting himself into a lot of trouble.
He's like lightly mobile. Should be so tired. He woke me up at 4 a.m. Why is he still awake? Go back to sleep. The Two Armies is an interesting name because this episode was interesting to me because it starts off very much from the point of view of the people who live in this mysterious, magical, mystical land. You meet like the Emperor, whose name is Molt, and he's with like a war consul who's talking about, like, listen, there's this battle that's happening because we didn't take the gate, we didn't secure it the way we should have, and now everything's a mess. And at first, it seems well-intentioned to me. Like, they're literally just trying to figure out, like, what do we do? There's this army here that is way more powerful than us. But then the Emperor's like, is it really what you're worried about? Is that, like, the other, like, villages and towns nearby will rise up against us and they're going to attack us? And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, some intrigue in this magical, mystical land that we found ourselves in. And then he orders a bunch of people to go to battle. And at this point, MC, I did not have any suspicions about Emperor Molt. I was like, yeah, there's a crazy army that's shown up in your magical, mystical land. Of course you're going to send your armies to fight them.
Okay, but he did sort of send an army into their lands first.
That's true. That is an interesting point that, like, nobody seems to be too worried about.
Yeah. But because I guess they took this hill, they want to take that hill back. And See, I think the two armies doesn't refer to, like, the Japanese and the other, like, the Emperor's army. I think it's the first army that went into Japan, and then this second force that they're sending to try and retake the hill and the gate.
Oh,
those
okay.
are the two armies.
Both of which die, because the team that got sent to Japan, while they did some destruction first... Child. Are you just going to make a bunch of noise now? Is that your plan? Ooh. The team that got sent to Japan ultimately got wiped out by, like, Apache helicopters and shit. And then they keep sending... They're just sending wave and wave and wave of folks at this hill. And the JSDF is like, haha, we got machine guns. And just kill everybody.
Oh, not just machine guns. They have, like, 10 tanks.
Which are, like, embanked? Is that a word?
Yeah.
They're, like, they've got, like... holes dug that their tanks are, like, pulled up into so that they're super defended.
And even though the other side has dragons, that the Japanese Defense Force is just, like, shooting them out of the sky.
Yeah.
With their armor-piercing bullets and whatnot.
This scene with like this assault on the hill is super dark because, like I said, at this point in the episode, it's been from the perspective of the inhabitants of this world, not the JSDF, and they just get wrecked when they show up at the hill. Like everybody dies instantly, and you're like, oh dang, that was too bad. They all died. And then it goes back to the Emperor, and it turns out the Emperor did this on purpose. He's like, hey, you know all those like towns and villages nearby that you were worried might rise up against us? Don't you worry about that. I sent them to go get killed by the machine guns, so they're all dead now. Every single one of them. And also, we're gonna go like burn down a bunch of villages nearby here and like poison their wells and destroy their crops just to make sure that the retreating armies from those towns and villages don't have any food and they starve on the way home. Muhahaha. And he does that laugh and you're like, oh, you're a villain. Oh.
Oh, that's not even the worst bit. What about what essentially he does with his daughter?
Oh, yeah. Because his daughter comes in and is like, hey, shit's effed. Like, everybody's dying. This is real bad. And he's like, well, you think that you're like a little warrior or whatever, a little Miss Prissy. He's very condescending, misogynistic. And he's like, why don't you go take all your little girly knights and you go fight at the hill? Maybe you guys can take it back. And you're like, dude just sent his daughter to die. He just sent his daughter to get killed. Yeah. Intentionally.
Straight up.
Oh, what a villain. What a villain. Why do fantasy girls always have their tits hanging out when they're in armor? Why? Why? I want to watch a fantasy show where a girl is wearing actual armor instead of having, like, a push-up bra made of metal.
I also want that in video games.
Video games, comics, movies, just let girls wear armor.
But anyway, back to, so there's this whole political thing, angle, that's going on this whole episode. With not just the Emperor, but like the generals and or lieutenants or whatever they were.
His whole war council seems to be in on this idea of like, let's just let those people from through the gate kill all of our enemies for us.
Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of like, the armies just get wiped out essentially. Mm-hmm. So, it's really weird. There's a scene with one of the guys. He takes a bow and arrow and he shoots it at the army. Mm-hmm. Or at the Japanese Defense Force. And it's just like, he gets blown up like 2 seconds later. And I'm like, what is going on in this show? Yeah. I totally forgot about this.
Apparently, in the manga version, that guy has just enough time to say, oh my god, it's a massacre! Just before he dies. In the anime, he don't get to say anything. He just get blown up real good. At that point, though, it switches over, and we start kind of having the JSDF as our point of view. We go back to Yuri? No, Yoji.
It's Tommy.
Yeah. And basically, they're checking out the battlefield. They're like, hey, this is a mess.
Can we have a little talk about the scene that's in between those two?
Remind me.
With the American president.
Oh, God, that's right. The American president. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see what he looked like?
I mean, I didn't notice that he looked like anyone in particular. I'm assuming it's supposed to be Bush, but
I can't tell. It's just blonde dude.
Yeah.
It's like that. It doesn't really look like any president.
Not particularly, but I just assume it's Bush because if you're going to make a, like, okay, what the president does is he's like, those fools went through the gate. We should totally go and kill some people. And they're like, or we could not. And that just felt very Bush to me.
It got down to, hey, how about we let the Japanese take the risk?
Yeah, basically it's like, hey, we think this is going to be a shit show. What if we just don't? And you're like, oh, so the American president is doing the same thing on our side of the gate that Emperor Molt, the villain, is doing on the magical, mystical, fantasy side of the gate. I see. MC, I'm the villain, is what this show is telling me. Me and my people are the villains. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it makes sense.
I just feel left out over here.
There's not a lot of anime that invokes Australia as the villains.
No.
I feel like America as the villains probably comes up frequently. Yeah, is that funny? So then they're like, all right, this is a mess. We got to do better. What if instead of just murdering everybody, we sent out some people to try and like find out about this magical, mystical fantasy land and meet the people and try and make peace with them and find out about their religious beliefs and all this kind of good stuff. And Atomi's like, yeah, man, that sounds awful. I don't envy whoever has to do that. And they're like, it's you.
You're not the only one, but there's going to be a whole bunch of recon teams. There's six to be precise, and you're in charge of one of them.
Yep.
And we get introduced to Recon Team 3.
I like the way they're introduced, because it does a whole bunch of, like, split screens where it'll have, like, three or four of them on screen at once, and it has their names. But it's so fast that I'm like, I don't know who any of these people's names are.
No, you literally have to pause it to read them thoroughly and memorize the face.
Well, and some of them... buddy, some of them you can't even see their face. Like one guy, it's just his eyes, and I'm like, how am I supposed to recognize this person? It's cool stylistically, but it doesn't actually introduce them to you or introduce you to them.
But you sort of get the idea that you're gonna see these characters more often in this series. So here's a quick introduction. You'll catch up on their names, I'm sure, later. That's how the scene reads to me.
Or at least the important ones, because come on, they're not all going to be important. Let's be real. There's like a cute chick, and she'll clearly be important because she's going to end up being the love interest of the main character, even though he's in a magical fantasy mystical land full of like elven maidens and mages and warriors and gothic Lolitas. You know he's going to fall in love with the soldier that's there with him because he's going to realize that he didn't need all of that. He just needed to find the right person.
I don't know if it's this episode or the next episode that those characters get introduced.
So we go into a montage and they're meeting a bunch of people, and then they're like, oh, we're trying to form a peaceful relationship, and they gave me a dictionary so I can speak their language. And they come across a forest, and the forest is on fire, and they're like, oh, what a crazy natural happenstance. And then they're like, oh wait, it's a dragon. And the problem, MC, is that there is a village in the middle of this forest, and they're like, well, there's nothing we can do about it, because there's a dragon.
Yeah, essentially there's a massive fire-breathing dragon that's just devastated this small country town, I guess, that was in this forest. And they rock up, and it's a bad scene. There's like a hand made out of ash reaching out. But they go to throw a bucket in the well and it doesn't make a splash noise.
It thunks. Which made me wonder, did they just hit her in the head? There's an elven maiden in the well. Did they hit her in the head?
I think maybe in her midriff, maybe.
I mean, it thunked. Midriff, listen to this. MC, listen. That doesn't thunk.
She's like a slender elf. It hit her on the shoulder.
She has a bit less padding in her midriff than I do.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. Is like, oh shit, there's an elf in a well.
Yeah.
You've heard of an elf on a shelf. Have you heard of a swell girl in a well? I'll put the rhyme.
Oh, well, yeah. That they're out trying to help people, and there's a fire-breathing dragon. That's pretty much what we get out of this episode.
Yeah.
Also, the Emperor is kind of evil.
The Emperor and the American President are both bastards. I liked this episode. It was cool. It was cool to see the self-defense force So the start of this episode, I was like, holy smokes, the self-defense fence is evil. Because, like, dudes are coming at you with bow and arrows and you're shooting them with tanks. Like, come on, man. Like, this is clearly an unnecessary escalation of violence, which, again, topical. Don't want to get into it on this show because we're trying to be an escape for people, but topical. And then the second half of the episode shows you actually get to meet some people on the self-defense force and see them trying to do good in the world, which is nice to see. But it is a weird juxtaposition considering how they are portrayed at the beginning.
I just want to say that the disaster that happens in the second half of it's a more natural disaster, even though it's a dragon.
Right, but it's not a person invoking it. I don't know if dragons are sentient in this, but from what we've seen so far, it doesn't imply that this is that there is no villain at cause here. It is just
a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas at the start, it's like the Emperor is terrible, but also just the fact that the self-defense force is just mowing people down is like unforgivable to me. Like that is an evil action. And it is crazy to me that this show has an overall positive military message, because I watched that scene and was like, oh my God, monsters.
I mean, they were technically an attacking force.
Right, but again, to take it back to the real world times right now, if somebody throws a water bottle at you and you shoot them with a gun, you are the asshole.
But, I mean, they had a little bit more than water bottles. They did have swords and bows and arrows.
And they shot them with tanks. They shot a man. They shot an individual man with a bow and arrow with a tank.
Yeah, that was one person.
One person, tank. That is not no. You did it bad.
They obviously haven't invented trench warfare and artillery.
Yeah,
it's not a fair fight.
Not at all. Which takes us to the best and the worst. And the worst first is mine for this one is that, the military. Oh my God. Don't stop shooting everybody. Like, they're like, we're here to understand these people. Look, get them and shoot them with the tank shell. Instead of being like, hello, I see you've got a bow and arrow. Can we maybe chat instead of me blowing you up with a tank shell?
Yeah. Mine is still like, how the Emperor manipulated everyone into going off to this war and him essentially killing off a whole bunch of armies that he thought were threatening him, when we don't even know if that's the case or not. Like, he just sent off a whole bunch of people to die for no reason.
Yeah. This is messed up. How about your best?
I liked they were like, okay, we're not taking sides in this. Like, we're just showing you sort of what war can be like. And not everyone's good and not everyone's evil sort of thing in it. And it's like, that was still messed up. But they're out there trying to help the civilian population as well in their world.
Yeah, that's true. That whole second half of the episode is about the military doing good things. So it is good that it gives that perspective, because I don't think everybody in the military is evil, but it is, yeah. I like the dual perspective. My best thing has to do with meeting those individual people, because there's a part, I did not learn the guy's name. I'm going to be honest. I will not learn anybody's name except for Itami's name. Maybe other. Anyway, they're driving the car. And they're like, hey, I want to have sex with a cat girl. Who do you want to have sex with? And Yoji's like, maybe like some like magical girl. Like, I have a magical girl fantasy. And they're like, oh, really? What about this one super popular magical girl that everybody knows about? And he's like, I love that magical girl. I even know her theme song. And they start singing her theme song over the radio in their convoy. And it just made me happy, because it felt like if you or I are out in the world and meet somebody and they're like trying to like hey, I'm gonna go play a game on that pinball machine, I'm gonna try and get the high score, and you're like, oh yeah man, I hope you do a good job and get the high score, and they're like, yeah, I want to be the very best, and then you lock eyes with them and you go, like no one ever was. And then you just sing the whole Pokemon theme song together.
Yeah.
Atticus, that would have been funnier if you weren't crying during it. That's what it felt like to me. It was just like two kindred spirits like locking eyes and going like, let's do this. Who cares that everyone else is gonna think we're ridiculous? We're doing this.
Yeah. It's great when just it's really showing off how nerdy he is.
Yeah. Well, and it instantly made that driver also feel like a real person. Like, that was a great way to show that he is, like, an individual. He is not just a soldier in a uniform. He's a person. Which is important to see. So that is Gate Episode 2. Do you have any other final thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. I thought the violence and the gore were muted a little bit, like, for what was actually going on.
Yeah, I think the first episode was more, from a gore perspective, more shocking. Whereas this one, like, the shock was just the sheer number of people that were implied to have died, but they didn't actually show you that many people dying.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm digging the show. I think it is interesting, and I'm really interested in like its convoluted messaging about the military, because like Ninja Boy said it in our first episode, it's kind of like written to be a pro military show, and I keep finding things in it that are like super anti military in how I'm reading them. So I think that's really interesting. But we will continue this discussion next time on episode 3, which is called Fire Dragon. Yeah, Fire Dragon. Until then, don't change.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFcast or email us at basesfcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFcast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.